This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
When this Tennessee baseball team will play in the Knoxville Super Regional coming up this weekend. It will not be Friday. It will be Saturday that Tennessee starts out their games with LSU. Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. right here in Knoxville, Lindsey Nelson Stadium. If you are not at the game, you can watch on ESPN2. But otherwise, that will be Saturday. And then you got a game Sunday at either noon or 3. And then if necessary on Monday, that game will be at either 4 p.m. or 7 p.m.
Well, I hope that if we have a Monday game, it's not at 4 p.m., or do I? I mean, I guess at that point, we just shut it down and watch the game, right?
I think so.
We're not doing this show during a win-or-go-home College World Series winner-take-all game.
No, hell no.
You want to be able to have your full range of vocabulary to react
what
to
time,
the game?
What time could it be? Would it be starting? They're not going to start that. If that... There's no way that ESPN's going to want to put
it's
that
at
game
four
before.
Or seven.
They're going to have it at seven.
Well, I mean, you don't know that. I mean, it depends on what.
Who? Arkansas?
What other games are going on? I don't know. Who's Arkansas play?
I don't know.
I mean, this Tennessee LSU matchup is not the blood sport to the rest of the country that it is to us and them.
No, but the only team I could see bumping us would be Arkansas because we're. Arkansas or Vanderbilt.
So Arkansas looks like they're going to be playing at 6 p.m. on their final game, but also that would be on Sunday if necessary.
Oh.
So also I think you got to take that in consideration, which I didn't a second ago. I don't think there's going to be a ton of teams playing that if necessary on Monday. I would have to think that thing's going to be at night.
Who knows what the
but
TV networks are taking into account when they decide
we'll
to
figure
put
it out
it
there.
There.
But agreed. We're not doing this show.
I mean, it's college baseball. It's not going to be – it's not like, ooh, let's put Tennessee and LSU on a college baseball game at 7 tonight. That's going to draw – it'd be like a million people will watch that, which is not a huge – maybe a million people watch that. I don't even know if it's that many. It's not going to be a huge rating winner for anybody to put it on.
No, I don't think so. These games are going to be primarily on ESPNU and ESPN2. But here we go. Second topic here. As we continue to look at the Super Regional tournaments there in the NCAA baseball tournament, here are your 16 teams remaining with their opponents. You got NC State and Arkansas, East Carolina and Vanderbilt, they're going to be squaring off, Stanford and Texas Tech, Ole Miss and Arizona, those are going to be all of your games starting on Friday. And then on Saturday, your teams and games being played are South Florida at Texas, Dallas Baptist at Virginia, or Old Dominion, LSU at Tennessee, and then Notre Dame at Mississippi State. Those are your 16 teams remaining.
Very good. Big weekend coming up.
No doubt about it. Here we go. Number three. Guys, the Titans will be restructuring a certain player's contract to facilitate the Julio Jones trade, and it looks like it'll primarily be quarterback Ryan Tannehill's contract as they're doing a little bit of restructuring as things go. Here's what's going to do. The move will add two voidable years to the end of Tannehill's deal, which ran through 2023, and will clear more than $18 million off the Titans' cap this year, per Ian Rappaport. Julio Jones' signing will cost the Titans $15.3 million this season. So there you go. A little bit of movement right there on the Titans' roster, at least financially, and it looks like they're going to find that money actually off of Ryan Tannehill for the most part.
Have to do the old Eddie DeBarlow, Kerman policy, salary cap magic. That's a 1990s 49ers reference for you youngins out there, but glad they did it, man. All in. all in for the Titans.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It certainly seems like that's where things are going. All right, here we go. Number three, in case you missed it, well, then go back to the podcast and go back to hour number one of the show, because right there at the end, we got to talk to Tim Priest. And it was actually reported this morning that one of our favorite commentators to ever grace the radio, Vol Radio Network color football analyst Tim Priest, announced that he will be retiring after a 22-year career. Man, and he told us on the interview that he had, it's actually been 46 when you look at all the Saturdays put together, 46 years of a career. I know he has countless memories for everybody here at this table, everybody here who is listening to the show, and really just a career worth celebrating.
Bon voyage, Tim Priest. Job well done. I'm glad that you were able to get out of the Tennessee football whirlpool with your sanity still intact. I know that at times it looked a little bit iffy, some of the unfortunate games that you had to watch the past couple of years. Happy retirement, Tim Priest.
Here we go. Number four, it looks like Mike Conley of the Utah Jazz will be ruled out for the upcoming game against the Clippers tonight, coming up at 10 o'clock p.m. It's a big loss for Utah right there as they try to really jump out to a big start here against the Clippers, who got to be tired coming off a seven-game series against the Mavericks in the first round. But also coming up at 7:30 p.m., the Hawks look to extend their series lead over Philadelphia by a score of 2-0. That game is coming up tonight at 7:30.
Anybody pulling for the Hawks? I see a lot of people jumping on that bandwagon.
No, I've yet to watch any NBA basketball this season.
I know a lot of people are still going with Tobias and the Sixers. Mm-hmm. Tennessee fans enjoy following him.
Where's Jay Rich at? Is he at home?
Out. Ooh. Home. Not Ooh. Good.
Bring
Not
that
good.
Up. That's a sore subject for Mr. Fabulous. You know that.
He really didn't do he didn't do anything bear in the playoffs. He did not start. He barely came off the bench. He couldn't guard anybody on the Clippers team.
That's why you guys are at home now. You should have played
anything
more.
I know. We tried to trade for him to be good this year, and he didn't make us good.
Is there anything that you care as little about as Bear cares about the NBA?
I don't know. I try to at least try to show some kind of interest in anything, even if it's a little.
Cricket. Croquet.
Now, cricket seems like an interesting game. You know, when I was growing up.
Okay, so no is the answer.
He
cares
absolutely
more about cricket than Bear cares about the NBA.
I totally. Maybe. Like, anytime NBA can, I just completely tune out. I don't care. It's just not what I grew up on.
We got a new champion, though, coming up. I mean, it'll be the first time in the last decade without a champion that's won in the last
It still bothers me. I could not get into it last year when in the bubble. And it still bothers me that I turned on these games and the stands are full, but we've got to keep a 15-foot buffer zone from the players.
I think it's TV.
You don't have 20,000 fans breathing, yelling, spewing their
whatever's
inside of them up into the air. The players are running around without masks, sucking wind. Like, who are we fooling here, man? At this point, can we just go back to normal?
This is reckless speculation, I think, but I do think it's for TV purposes. Like, I think it's just
they
to show.
It looks better?
Well, I think to show that, hey, if people are going to be upset that there are going to be big fans or big crowds of fans, at least when you're watching the
Who's
game
upset?
On the court. I don't know, but that's to me the only justifiable reason why you only have the places blocked out that are, like, right on the TV's frame, right up top.
I wish they just. I would be more. I feel like I would watch more if they would get rid of just all precautions.
I want to see
Maybe
the
I'm
fans.
Reckless.
I want to see
them. This has to be what you feel like when I start talking NASCAR.
And here we go. Last but not least, number five. I take you to the town of Johnston, Rhode Island. It's not a good place. In
Rhode
case
Island.
You've got a large animal, you are likely to lose that animal in Johnston, Rhode Island. This town lost a steer earlier this year, just loose in the town. And now they're dealing with another issue as a donkey is loose on the run in the same town that dealt with a runaway steer earlier this year. A donkey was first spotted around 7 p.m. It was reported again at about 8:30 p.m., and the police had no idea where it went. It just kept disappearing. The police continued to raise their numbers to try to find the donkey on the run. Couldn't find it. Eventually they did, but also the donkey almost even caused a car crash.
Oh no!
In this Rhode Island town.
How fast can a donkey run? I thought donkeys were slower.
That's
right?
A really good question. Let me look this up. Donkey top
donkey
speed.
And mules are the same thing, right?
No.
A donkey's top speed, what would you guess, just out of curiosity?
20 miles per hour.
15. It's a little bit slower.
Yeah. I mean, like,
mules are sterile. Born sterile. Donkeys can mate.
Okay. How is a donkey getting away from people in this town? It feels like that would be a simple animal to, maybe not simple, but relatively simple to corral. It's not like a stallion roaming the streets that can crank it up to 40 miles per hour.
Yeah, I think
threatened.
This thing was just like really good at hiding in the dark. I think it was honestly going so slow that it couldn't be found. And not to mention, to make the whole story even better, 3 years ago, this one town of Johnston, Rhode Island, they had another issue with an animal.
Oh,
as
no.
Three wild turkeys
what?
Intimidated drivers
what?
In the town for
Stop.
Days.
Stop.
For days straight.
Intimidated?
Intimidated.
How can a wild turkey possibly be?
Well, not just one wild turkey. Three wild turkeys.
I've seen many wild turkeys
have
in my
you?
Time.
Have
I have,
you?
Yes, yes.
They aren't nearly as intimidating as like a peacock or a rooster. You talk about an intimidating bird.
And how would it intimidate a driver? I'm sorry, I see a couple, any sort of bird, and I'm in my car.
Oh,
I'm
it's
not
getting
intimidated.
Smashed.
Nature's. All right, when you see a bunny, you're driving in your neighborhood, do you swerve for a bunny?
I'll hit the brakes for it. I'll swerve
as long as nobody's around. I'll swerve for just about anything as long as it's safe.
The reason I'm swerving is I don't want to run the risk of having to deal with the aftermath up underneath my car.
Yeah, you don't want to. I mean, I'm not just going to. Oh, there's a deer standing.
If you run over a squirrel, do you turn around and remove the body from the ground?
What?
No.
Well, then what?
Turn around for a squirrel?
What are you talking about? You got to go. You got to go fix what you just did.
He's talking about to his car. His damage to his car.
I don't
want
to have
like
to get out a hose
guts.
and have to, you know. I don't know. I don't know if you've noticed this
wait
about
a minute,
me.
Wait
sometimes
a minute,
I drive fast.
Do you? Have you ever hit a squirrel and gone back?
No.
To remove
no.
The
that's
squirrel?
Why
okay,
I was
I'm
so confused.
Saying.
Someone once told me that they were just nature speed bumps. I don't. Like, I'm not going to be swerving too much. I would rather protect my car and not hit a mailbox or something. But, anyways, Johnston, Rhode Island. Hopefully they can get their donkey under control. What's your top five?
Good luck with that, Johnston.
Those things can be – you got to be careful around them. I had a buddy growing up, Polky, got kicked in the face by a donkey.
Mm.
And he had a horseshoe-shaped scar on his cheek for
– Polky?
Polk.
Oh, my God.
Polk.
The donkey was – well, the steer. The
story just keeps going.
It escaped on the way to a slaughterhouse. It was just trying to leave. It was trying to
slaughter. Why would you
again.
Slaughter a donkey?
No, not the steer. The steer that was captured in late March that was on the loose in this town.
Oh, run free.
Yeah.
Big beef.
Oh, big beefy boy.
Run free, back to the abattoir, and onto my plate.
What you call
in
it?
In the form of a ribeye.
How you not know what a difference between a mule and a donkey, but you can, you know, abattoir.
I don't know. Who's to say I'm a strange guy? That is the Top 5 of 5 brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. You check them out online, knoxvillesmiles.com. Set up a new patient consultation there. If it's been a while since you've been to the dentist, they would love to perform a routine dental cleaning for you. They'll also do some x-rays and stuff like that, general diagnostics to make sure that your smile is in great shape. And if you have any issues, they'll let you know what your options are to fix it. knoxvillesmiles.com. Phone number is 865-539-1776 over at Knoxville Smiles. Tony Vitello set to join the show here in about 5 minutes. You're going to want to stay tuned for that as we get set to discuss the important issues of the day. The head coach of the Baseball Vols, he's a busy man. Busy guy right now, man. A lot going on with that Tennessee baseball program. Live here on the radio in Knoxville, 105.7 FM and 1340 AM. We're streaming on fanrunradio.com and the free FanRun app, and you can listen to the podcast on demand at your leisure, wherever you listen to podcasts. Tickets for this series go on sale tomorrow morning at 8:30. And we are anticipating full-on Mad Max Thunderdome-like scenes at Lindsey Nelson Stadium this weekend.
Will anybody be up tomorrow at 8:20 a.m. with their phone ready trying to get tickets for this weekend? Is anybody going to be trying to go?
Oh, I probably won't, but I think people will build their morning around it. Yeah.
No doubt. I will. I'm actually going to try to be getting tickets, so I will be one of the few. Well, one of the many, actually.
And you can only do it by an old-fashioned phone call.
It seems so, but I'm a little nervous because I think that they're doing this because of area codes, right? Trying to keep a lot of the tickets local. At least that's what maybe some speculation has been.
How many lines do you think they have to take these calls?
I don't know.
Because it feels like they're
Why would you do it only by phone rather than...
Because they don't want... the whole reason behind this is they don't want the bots... And for the secondary, Frawley's tickets just go zoom, gone.
Oh, the stupid bots.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
You actually have to be a human being.
Call in bots.
Old school. And you could do it in this situation because, unfortunately, they couldn't do this for, like, Neyland Stadium or the arena. Couldn't do it for the Coliseum. But since
it does seem kind of quaint.
Yeah.
Hey, pick up your telephone and call a person, and then you'll tell them. Is there a ticket? Can you buy as many as you can? I can't call up, be the first guy and say, yeah, I want all 300 tickets. Is there there's like a maximum,
no,
right?
Yeah.
You buy, what, four or five tickets? Four?
Four.
Okay. That makes sense.
Season ticket holders are going to get taken care of. Obviously, I guarantee you that they're holding back a certain number for UT students. Yeah, they're going to get the Legends of Lindsey in there.
Yeah,
what's this about the band?
I don't know. I saw somebody is the Pride of the Southland going to try and be there or something? I don't know that we.
I've seen a little bit of scuttlebutt about it.
No, we can ask Tony Vitello.
Put him up on the berm.
Coming up next, stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Welcome back, Russell Baird, Rick, back with you here on the Drive. Pleased to be joined right now on the G3 Help Me Hotline by the head baseball coach of your Tennessee Volunteers, Tony Vitello. Joining us on the show. Coach, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Afternoon. Doing pretty well. Ready to have a muggy practice here, a little evening session with the guys.
Oh, all right. Working out this evening over at the stadium, getting ready for LSU. Coach, before we talk about the matchup with the Tigers, big question. Have you found your extra bleachers yet?
It's some additional standing room, and I believe they're going to add some extra seats within the bleachers that are currently here, but I don't know that there'll be anything added. And there's been an awful lot of stuff go on today. So now that we know our opponent, I'm not completely in the loop on all that stuff, trusting our good people in the administration, but I know there's been at least some minor tweaks already to everything.
Hopefully this time next year, we have a couple thousand extra seats permanent in there and we can really do it up. But
I'm down with that for sure.
Coach, you're having fun, man. Seeing you guys running out there doing the somersault, your sprint down the foul line during the Gilbert Grand Slam. You guys were having a heck of a time out there last weekend.
Yeah, you know, when ESPN does those interviews at the end of the game and the whole team's got to sit there and wait on me, it kind of leaves you in a position where the guys are expecting something. Yeah. And I blacked out a few times this weekend out of emotion, whether it be in a positive way or a negative way. And the bottom line is there was just a ton of energy in the stadium, and I think all of us fed off it.
Now, when you're charging your team after that interview, and I mean, it was the somersault. Is that something you planned?
No, it's definitely not in the repertoire. There's not a lot of – I've never been a guy that's done a backflip or a front flip or anything too athletic in that fashion. So I think organized, or actually lack of organized chaos was the approach there.
When I saw you taking off, it looked like I thought you were going to do that thing. I don't know, PJ Fleck, the coach at Minnesota, he like runs into the locker room and crowd surfs over his players. I thought that's what you were going for.
No, there was certainly no organization to it, like I said. But I think the bottom line is at that point, you know, the guys are just ready to erupt and celebrate in the fashion that you normally would, but multiply that by two with just kind of the buildup to everything. first regional for a ton of these kids, first chance at really doing something at a regional for the rest of them. And then this playing at home here, it's I've said it multiple times, but it's the truth. It was a vision that everyone had for a long, long time here.
The Grand Slam Friday night. I mean, that was just such a moment for not only Tennessee baseball, but college baseball. I mean, they've shown that thing all over the country, all over the networks. Where were you headed? Where did you run during that Grand Slam? Because we saw 22 streaking down the field, and then the cameras cut away. I never really saw where you ended up.
Yeah, there was no plan to that one either. That was there was a little – I was channeling my fellow Italian, Jim Balvano, I think, by accident. The thought popped into everybody's head when that kid came up to the plate. Like, hey, he's been just like any of our guys. There's been some at-bats where if you're a Vol fan, you're probably like, come on, man, what the heck was that? But there's also been some magical moments, and he kind of seems to thrive when it's a deal where he's just got to focus on competing. And that was one of those moments. So everybody kind of thought, this dude might hit a homer here or do something special. But to hit it the way he hit it, where as soon as it leaves the bat or even made contact with the bat, it's a no-doubter win for the Vols. And all that at once was just insane. And a couple of us ran around like crazy. So it was exhilarating.
Well, yeah, and your team seems to be peaking at the right time because – you know, like you said, Gilbert, he's been a little hot or cold this year, but obviously he was hot all weekend. And it just seems like there isn't anybody really in your lineup or in your rotation who's struggling right now, which has got to be a really comforting thought as you sit here and plan out the next weekend ahead.
Well, the whole thing was, you know, let's just march towards May. I mean, you're not going to go undefeated along the way. Let's march towards May, and if we're doing it in strong fashion, we'll be in a good position, and then let's play our best baseball in May. Well, it's been such a competitive group that, you know, they've done well leading up to the month of May, and I really do feel like we've played our best baseball since that start of that, and we're fortunate enough to be into June now. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's struggling, but also there's different guys that kind of catch fire at different times, and our theme has kind of been, it could be anyone on our team that's going to be the guy that night, whether it be on the mound defensively or offensively. But it's going to be everyone that shows up to work that day and is involved and is a candidate to be one of those guys.
All right, Coach, before we get to the series here, I got to come clean on something I told our audience that I would. Yesterday, the four-year anniversary of you being named the head coach here at Tennessee, people were going back up on social media and dragging up, you know, the reaction to your hiring. And
yeah.
I don't remember doing this, Coach, but I said that I would come clean. I said that I would wear it. I said that I would own it. Somebody found a tweet of mine from yesterday, 2017, and I don't remember thinking this. I certainly don't remember saying it, but the quote was, "Who the hell is Tony Vitello?" Coach, I'm sorry. We know who you are now, and we love you.
No sweat, and I love Vol Nation, and you're a strong part of it. So no hard feelings. I've got a bunch of those saved in my phone, and the last one I sent to our players, not of me, but of old ones, and the last one I sent to our team was what someone said about Patrick Mahomes, how big of a mistake the Chiefs just made with that pick. That the guy can't do this and can't do that. And it was a tweet from a strong football analyst. And
yeah, I
you
remember
know,
that.
Yeah, and hey, my choice as a coach is to steer clear of any articles or social media. But as a fan, you love digging up things and you love having theories, and that's what makes sports, and especially this time of year, so much fun, is, you know, you debate about it and you talk about it. And one thing about that social media stuff, it's so frustrating. It's hard to debate honestly now because you got to watch every single word you say. But I guess that's the world or the climate we have, and it's not going to change for a while.
Yeah, maybe not the only one I ought to go back and delete from long ago. It's not about me. Coach, let's talk about it. LSU, your thoughts on facing the Tigers again. This was such a big moment for your team earlier in the season, sweeping them. Coach, a little salty. Afterwards, there's a little bit of a rivalry brewing here. How do you approach this week with your team?
Yeah, you know, it's now, getting them to where they understand this is a tournament down in Hoover. This is separate from the regular season, and it's a tournament. So you got to attack it in a way that puts you in a position to win it. And then that's over with. It's a new tournament in the regionals, and it's like Hoover, but it's a little bit different, and you got to win it. This is a separate deal as well. It's almost kind of the fourth season we've entered into, and regardless of who won, Oregon or LSU, was already ready to meet with our guys today and say, we're kind of back in our little honey hole. It is a super regional tournament, but it's in the format of what we're used to, an SEC weekend type weekend, and now it's truly an SEC weekend. Best of three. We did it all year long against non-conference opponents. And then, you know, you take Kevin Copps out, and I think we kind of beat ourselves a little bit against Vanderbilt. No disrespect to them. We've learned some lessons. We've been pretty good at this deal. So there should be a lot of confidence in that locker room. And we knew, too, again, Oregon is a really good team. Wright State's really good. At this point in the year, there's no point for us in sizing up who the opponent is. They're going to be tough, and it's going to be a challenge. And the true challenge is, can we show up and be the Tennessee Vols? And that's really kind of all we can control. And these kids have found a way to do that regardless of circumstances. And I know they're ready to ride again come Saturday.
Any thoughts to the pitching setup? I'm sure you've thought about it a lot. Have you made up your mind? I know you don't want to telegraph your approach to Maneri and those guys, but do you have an idea of what you're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, you would think, you know, both teams would kind of leave Sunday up for grabs a little bit because Sunday is an if-necessary game. It's not like an SEC weekend where you're definitely going to play three games. So I think both programs will kind of do that a little bit, but at the same time, you got to prepare your guys. So I think, you know, Will Heflin has proven he can pitch in the clutch, and if he's not used in relief, he most likely will be that guy. And then we haven't done Chad or Blade's bullpens because we now have an extra day's rest. But, you know, it looks awfully sure deal, like it could be a Marceau versus Chad Dallas matchup. And our kids have a lot of respect for the Marceau kid. He's a battler. He's really improved in his time in college. And our guy Chad, too, is a guy who his teammates love playing behind him, and he leads us into battle. So we'll see if we'll do anything different or strategize or anything, but, you know, a lot of signs point to that.
Now, Maneri, as I mentioned earlier, a little salty after that last series, said it was a hostile environment. That was still back the COVID limitations. It was not a full house.
Right.
He said that I believe the word lack of class or classless was thrown around. Would you like for Vol fans to be a little more respectful this time around?
No, I would like Vol fans to continue the pursuit that's kind of been parallel with us. Is that in any sport, Tennessee wants to have the best fan base. And every school in the country is like that. But not every school has the potential to do that. Tennessee has been that in women's basketball and in football and in some other, you know, arenas. So I think the potential was there, and the thirst to be one of the best baseball fan bases is there. But it's continually growing right now, kind of like our program and our roster.
Yeah.
And it's been fun to see the two kind of be congruent. And that's all we need to have. Like you said, back then, the problem was we didn't have a full crowd, and they could hear the exact words some people were saying. Mm. Well, now it's a deafening noise that comes when Drew Gilbert hits a home run like that, or like the one he hit in the third game. And I think that's going to be a whole different animal. And so we love the incline of improvement that the fan base is on, and we are too. And we'll let other people judge kind of what's going on. But I addressed that in the past. You really had a few college kids razzing Trey Morgan. And if anything, they made the first baseman Trey Morgan better, in my opinion. The kid went off. He's a superstar player. And then the other thing was at the end of the last game, their Tennessee kid that's on their roster was every bit as classless as our kids. There was a little go back and forth between about four of our guys and him. And that's really all it was if you break it down.
All right. Well, we'll be ready to roll. This place will be rocking come 7 o'clock Saturday night. You know that. So it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, it will be, and they'll of course they'll have some people that load up their gumbo pit and come here to either tailgate or come to the game. And you know, our full expectation is that our fans will have their best performance of the year, and we'll try and match that on the field.
All right, Coach, we got four tunes before we let you out of here. We want your opinion: jam or not a jam. You ready?
Oh yes.
All right, here we go, Bear. I don't know about you guys, but all I can think of is Alicia Silverstone right now.
Alicia Silverstone in the video.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at a young age, that combo was a no-doubt jam for me. Standing the test of time might be another question mark there. No visual, and in a few years gone by, I don't know that I'm jamming it right now.
They did know how to write the 90s monster just power ballad, Aerosmith. They figured that out, that formula.
They did.
Whatever it was.
Ragdoll, you name it.
And putting Alicia Silverstone and Liv Tyler in videos didn't hurt either.
Kind of strange because this is daughter.
Good marketing.
I'll go jam. Bear?
Yeah, absolute jam. It's got more hooks than the tackle box.
Ooh. Nice. Next.
Hey, man, that's good karma playing that right there.
Yeah, for Liam Spence?
Liam Spence. That's a jam regardless, but in particular these last two seasons, that's been a big-time jam for the Bulls.
Now, is Liam familiar with Men at Work? Does he celebrate the entire catalog?
Very, very much so. He's very familiar. He'll celebrate the whole catalog, and he gives a grin when the song plays at our stadium or any other.
Awesome. Jam all the way around, Bear?
Oh, absolutely.
Very good. What's next?
Let's see. Such a strange situation, stopping every 100 miles, calling
Baton Rouge. Well, there's a 180-degree turn right there.
Yeah, a great concert, but any mention of that and any visuals that come with it when you're at their place, I'm going to discard that and leave that to the diehard Garth Brooks fans of the jam.
I'm with you, Coach. Not a jam. Get out of here, Garth Brooks, and Baton Rouge.
Not despise this whole catalog, Garth Brooks.
There you go.
Just go away.
All right, one more. Oh, man.
Taking me back.
Another interesting video. A lot of things going on in that video.
You said it, Coach. Yeah, we're all thinking it. You said it. All right.
But like, same thing. Maybe back in the day was when MTV actually played videos.
Yeah,
would not change the channel. But standing the test of time, it has not. So I'm not going to jam that in my current mode.
Oh, wow. Coach, it's your world. We're just living in it. So I'm going to say not a jam.
I'm going jam. I celebrate our entire catalog.
Oh, there you go.
You're still fired up about the video.
I'm fired up about Fiona Apple every day.
Hey, Coach, we're fired up about your team Saturday. Yeah. Omaha, baby. Let's get this done.
Yeah, you know, one step at a time. And the jam I brought up to the guys, they don't even know who Incubus is, but they got a song, Are You In? And of our guys have been in, and all the fans are certainly in, and it's been huge for us. So we appreciate all the support.
Oh, man. We got to look that one up. That can
are
be the theme
in?
Song for the rest of
oh,
the
yeah.
week. All right. Incubus, Are You In? Coach, we know you got to run. Thank you for being so generous with your time. We appreciate it. Best of luck this week. And hopefully we'll talk again next week about a trip to Omaha.
I'm all for it. Thank you so much, guys. Yep. We'll come after the Tigers on Saturday.
Thanks, Coach. Tony Vitello making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
Just outstanding.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III, 865-558-8030. Visit them online at g3helpme.com. We have to take a quick timeout. A lot to unpack there. Tony V's got me fired up, man.
I'm ready to fight.
Ready to run through that brick wall. Stay with us. We'll unpack it coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Big UFC fight coming up Saturday. Should be on, hopefully, right after
Who's fighting?
right after we smash LSU and take a one-game-to-none lead in that.
Yeah.
Adesanya Vettori 2, UFC 263. You can bet it on FanDuel. They're giving you 30-to-1 odds on either fighter to win the main event Saturday night. That means you can make $150 off just a $5 bet on FanDuel. You want to bet the UFC this weekend, I would suggest you put that money on Israel Adesanya. But, hey, it's your money. You do what you want with it. Place your first bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook app using promo code DRIVE1 and get in on this incredible action. Then sit back and watch the fists fly. Adesanya Vettori 2, Saturday, June 12th. FanDuel's my go-to for all my sports bets. Love the promos like this. Love the super easy-to-use app. The safety, the security features, never had any issues there. And the fast payouts, always, man, within as little as 24 hours, they get you your money quickly. Don't forget, you could get this offer on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So download it today and sign up using our promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. Again, that's promo code DRIVE1. FanDuel must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required, $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you got a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Y'all didn't think I was going to wuss out and not come clean.
You owned it.
No.
You truly owned it.
I knew you would.
I was impressed.
I told you he would think it's hilarious, too.
Yeah, he'd start dying laughing. He was tremendous right then. I just got to say this real quick. I am so amped up right now.
Oh, dude.
I am so fired up. I don't know what I would do with my life if I just spent a week around this guy. I would be so much more productive than I've ever been in existence. But he really just does such a great job of speaking elegantly with the media, but also saying the right things to get this fan base fired up, to also instill some confidence, yet continue to keep a chip on the shoulder.
Yeah.
That was an amazing conversation right there with Tony Vitello.
Oh, man.
Dude's hilarious, man.
Yeah, he's just entertaining. He's down to earth.
And he just knows.
And he's smart.
He pushed the right buttons.
He's so smart.
He tells the right time.
I like it. He
what did he say about the kid from LSU? He said one of their players was
one of their kids is a Tennessee kid. And at that point, I thought he was going to say something. Maybe it went a little too far, but he was like, he was acting just as classless as our guys, what our guys are being accused of. Basically saying it was going, it's 6-1, half a dozen.
No love lost here, well, man. They hate us, and the feeling is mutual.
Russell, if you remember, let's see, I'm trying to find it. Here it is. So on April 1st, I believe it was, of this year, Tony Vitello came on the Drive right here and actually talked about that incident with LSU, and here's what he had to say, quote, "All is fair in love and war. I don't follow social media stuff, but you would have to be living under a rock to not know the situation you're talking about." So basically, like, you're right, it kind of all does wrap back up in a one, and he knows what he's saying, and he knows what buttons to push to get the people fired up. But yeah, he did even mention that at the time, right? That, hey, they of course had a couple of Tennessee players, and so our guys have seen each other around and things along that nature. Yeah, they know each other a little bit on the road. But it's really interesting to hear him say that today.
There's no love lost.
Because if Oregon had won, it would be feisty and competitive. Our guys would talk trash because that's who we are and that's what we do.
It'd be competitive, but like it was with Wright State and Liberty, and it would have been with Duke.
Exactly.
Mutual respect. Respect.
This is a little different, man.
This is SEC.
So here's exactly what he said on the Drive back there in April. "I can assure you this. There were a couple of guys on our team that had a back and forth with their Tennessee resident that's on their roster.
Who is
those
that?
Guys were reprimanded probably
Something
three. Here. Those guys were probably reprimanded probably three or four different times by me and our other staff members. So anything that we think is out of line, we will address it. But otherwise, like I said, if somebody beats our butt, then we need to do better.
Could you vice versa, then
we will high-five each other in the outfield after the game, or somersault, apparently.
Could you imagine the stuff that the coaching staff hears out of that crew over there, that they'll just shut down immediately, call them down before it?
Blake Money, 6'7", 261-pound right-handed pitcher from Spring Hill. You went Summit High School where the Wade twins. Yeah.
Oh. Is he the, where is that? The
where
only
is
one you're finding?
Down towards Chattanooga?
Yes.
Isn't that where the Saturn plant was? That's where those things were.
Blake
made.
Money. You hate guys named Blake.
I don't like this guy at all.
There you go.
Maybe he ought to shut his mouth.
Blake Money, too. That what an obnoxious last
Remember,
name.
Wasn't there like
money, but
if you want some, come
name.
Get some.
The only he's no Eddie Money. Let's put it that way. He ain't got two tickets to paradise. He ain't shaking.
Yeah. See what it feels like get his ass whipped by a 5'10" person. He's running that mouth at Drew Gilbert. How big's this kid?
He's a big old boy, man. 6'7", 261.
I guarantee you Gilbert would fight him.
Freshman
that's
right
a vibe I pick. Am I wrong on that? Gilbert looks – I don't want to say it, but he's kind of like – to me, appears to maybe be – likes to fight guy.
He must have – this dude, Blake Money, he must have been recruited by us and come on visits and got to know the guys and then spurned us to go to LSU.
Either that or they – I'm sure most of these guys except for like
– And then we smoked them.
Yeah. These guys, most of these guys probably know each other the same way in football and basketball. A lot of these kids know each other.
Yeah.
So they play at that elite level, especially in baseball
and
those
I think
travel
probably,
teams.
Like a Caden Martin is probably a big tie between a couple of different groups here and there. I think he's a big name around here.
Oh, well, the Vanderbilt players and Tennessee players pretty much all know each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why that's such a rivalry. And that happens in football a lot, too. There's a lot of crossover and – So
it's SEC. There's a difference between us playing even Oregon as compared to playing an SEC team. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be Thunderdome
so to
over there
from.
Saturday. It's going to be a – it's going to
be fun, man.
Coach
team meat stick.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And that was another interesting thing he said. Because of the COVID restrictions, they could hear things that – our fans were saying to them individually. So the legends were all up there against the net, right? And you can hear everything that they're saying. Like
you can
clearly,
hear it on TV last
you clearly
week.
Hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
And now that it's full and everybody's screaming, it's
not
more
as noticeable.
Just, it's just a wall of noise,
right?
Basically. And I'm sure you can cut through if you pick the right time.
That one guy in the eighth inning on Sunday, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Well,
he cut through.
Yeah, if you're near the microphones or whatever, it's going
right
to pick
spot.
You up.
If you've got a good, you know, if you can really
like
boom
when,
your voice.
When Gilbert hit the home run or any of the home runs and the place goes crazy, you can't hear anybody. So, but, I mean, I don't know. Is that
I feel like
advantage
three of us
or disadvantage
be heard
for us?
If we were over there in the stands.
Is that an advantage or a disadvantage for us?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a disadvantage, but I do think that you lose the advantage of
being able to get into somebody's head.
Yes, it's like a high school environment, right? You do kind of look up who is their sister, who is their girlfriend, like the personal stuff. But that's the stuff that gets in their head the most, and so I do think that
here's the other thing, though. You got to be pretty ballsy to pull it off when it's a thin crowd,
so
because they know exactly where it's coming from.
The legends were. The legends
were. It's pretty easy to get caught. Like, you ain't hiding in a crowd.
I was watching this video of the last time the American soccer team played Mexico in Mexico City at the Azteca Stadium. And this guy went down there, this American guy went down there for the game and, like, hung out beforehand. And the night before, he went out to wrestling matches in Mexico City. And so he said,
Lucha wrestling.
Yeah, he's in this big arena, and all these Mexicans are drinking beers, and they're yelling at the refs and all this stuff. It's just going crazy. It's like an insane scene. And the guy's telling him, he's like, yeah, people will say anything to the referees. And right after he says that, they have the closed caption on there. Somebody says something in Spanish, and the caption says, your mother is a nice woman.
You know damn well that's not what he said. That's great.
So
the whole Mexican USA soccer rivalry now is I found completely intriguing. I didn't realize that it was that insane.
I would love to go if I could be on an excursion with other Americans. Yes, I would love to go see the Americans play in Mexico. So it looks like so much fun, but it's dangerous.
Oh yeah,
it is dangerous because they've got a police escort taking the fans into the stadium. I'm talking riot gear, guys with shields and helmets and stuff, as the Americans walk in, and then they're pinned off. And this one, the Azteca Stadium is this huge place, it's thousands of
Cowboys
feet above
there.
Sea
yeah.
level, you know, so you've got the altitude sickness to deal with. And the Americans sit in this section that's fenced off. It's got fences around
wow.
it. And they're throwing beer and stuff at you. And, I mean, like, beyond hostile and, like, kind of scary environment. But looks like a lot of fun. Are mothers off limit? Are mothers off limits for the Tennessee fans talking to LSU players and coaches this weekend?
Yeah, I feel like that's the that's the rule.
Mothers off limits.
Mothers off limits. I think sisters and sisters and girlfriends are fair game.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I'm gonna talk about your mom, your sister, your whole family. I will.
Wait, can you clean it up? You had a great one. He said, "I want to meet me with your mom and your sister."
Oh, at the Walmart.
at the Walmart.
Because I'm lonely and hungry. And I'm gonna need something to do after I finish punching your teeth out.
Oh.
Chapman Highway Walmart. Down there.
Well, on that note.
It's out near Seymour now.
Wrapping up.
What a day. Tim Priest and Tony Vitello. Both on the program.
Epic.
Not bad.
Good stuff. Tomorrow on the show, we are going to have Chris Burke. To help.
Berkey's calling the game this weekend.
Yeah. I believe he called most of the games for the first series, too.
Right.
So we could talk about that with him and just what Tennessee needs to do to win. We can get into the nuts and bolts and talk sports a little bit with him, but also just where the program's at. And that was another thing. Did you notice when I said to Vitello, I asked him if he had gotten the bleachers, and he said, oh, there's going to be some more stuff. And I said, well, how about this? This time next year, we'll just have a couple thousand more seats in there and a double decker. It'll look great. And he said, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel
the
good?
The funnier
make
thing
feel
was,
better?
Yeah. Yeah. But the funnier thing to me was when he was talking about the pitch, and because he was acting like he's not who he was for a split second there. And he was like, well, you know, just the way he was, I could see that going that way when he was talking about who was going to start.
Well,
like,
how about also,
not last time I checked, but
calling Baton Rouge, not a jam.
No, he didn't want any part of that song.
Well, that's not something.
He was quick.
Hey, that's not something you say if you're thinking about taking their job, right?
You make sure if he says anything about it. That was your idea to put that one in there, not mine. I didn't think it was a good idea.
Well, he played it well. He said, hell no. He says not a jam. I don't want anything to do with it.
I
don't want to
get that guy riled up.
He was quick.
Who?
Vitello.
Maneri.
Wouldn't want him fired up at me.
He's not going to be fired up. If he laughs off me saying, who the hell is Tony Vitello?
It's so strange because when you see him, when you watch him during a game on TV, he's very imposing.
He's got that stern look where he looks like he's looking out of his eyebrows all the time.
Yeah.
Just a little menacing, a little intimidating, like those turkeys.
What the hell are you talking about?
Do you think that part of that is he's a young guy and he looks young and it's his first head coaching job, and he realizes that he can't go out there. It's one thing to cut up on the drive when he's doing radio or something, but when he's in front of his guys, he's got to project some authority.
That crew? Or I mean, like any group of, elite college-age athletes? Yeah. Especially, I don't know, just watching him all year, that crew seems like they're probably a pretty lively bunch to stay on top of, if you know what I mean.
Some fun road trips, I would imagine.
Yeah. You have to run roughshod over that crew.
All right, big thanks to Matt Huckaba for helping out in studio this afternoon.
Heck yeah.
Thank you, Rick Butler. Thank you, Bear. That's going to do it for us. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.